serving our city and the surrounding areas.
We are Cambridge 105, 105, 105, 105.
28 minutes before 6 o'clock, it's time for the Gadget Guide with Rob and Lawrence. Hello, guys.
Evening, Julian.
Hello, Julian.
How are we?
Very good job to get all that applause as well.
Yes, I know. You deserve it. You deserve all of it.
Well, thank you very much. Anyway, welcome along to Gadget Guide number 34. And we've been teasing you a little bit with going off grid, haven't we? I think you and Zoe.
Yeah, I wasn't entirely sure as to what it was, but hopefully you are going to enlighten me
in just a few minutes. We'll do a quick roundup of the tech news first, and this one we missed by about 2 hours after the last Gadget Guide a fortnight ago. And that was a massive plunge in BlackBerry's shares. And indeed, I think they then suspended trading even.
Briefly.
Just briefly, it's back on now. Because they actually issued some severe profit warnings. And I think they laid off a considerable proportion of their development staff. So it almost looked like they were actually going to go into administration. They've since actually had a bit of a rescue deal, haven't they, Lawrence?
Yes, a venture capital company has thrown some money at them and looks like they might end up going private. But still a very uncertain future for BlackBerry.
Definitely. And even if the company survives, obviously they've severely restricted in the development that they can do of new products. And I have to ask the question, you know, whether you're going to see BlackBerry as a high street name in the near future. I'm not sure it will.
It's quite interesting because Nokia, of course, just simply got bought by somebody else, at least their mobile phone
Microsoft
division did, who'd obviously been working with, I think, on the operating system. But when it comes to BlackBerry, the fact that there doesn't seem to be anybody stepping forward is a bit of a problem for the business.
Yeah, and I think probably if I was going to guess, it seems like they're probably going to lose the IP off to some other manufacturers or milk it for that.
Yeah, I mean, the BlackBerry Messenger and the BlackBerry Enterprise email systems have been well respected as a very good products and used by a lot of business. I mean, it is one of their very good revenue streams for the company is secure email.
Yeah, but then they've kind of dropped the ball a bit. But there we go. Anyway, that's BlackBerry. T3 magazine have, of course, just announced their award ceremony. Was it last night, I think it was?
Certainly in the last couple of days.
Yep. And their phone of the year is not, as you might have expected it to be, the Apple iPhone, is it? It's the HTC One.
So, yeah, HTC's latest Android phone.
But I think Apple did win something, but they didn't bother to turn up to collect the awards. I'm not sure what that was.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, in Android news, I guess the real bit of interesting gossip coming up really is the Nexus 5 that's starting to just gently leak out into the world.
Yes, I mean, that's going to be the replacement for the Nexus 4, obviously, and the rumours are that it'll come in at half the price of an iPhone 5.
Yeah, so watch out. If you want to get yourself a cheap Android device at the moment, or a cheap, good Android device, there's actually a couple, because they've heavily discounted the Nexus 4.
Yep.
And also, I believe, Carphone Warehouse have been flogging off some stock of the old Nexus 7s, taking them in at, I think about £140 or something.
Tablets.
Yes.
Right.
But also on the tablet front, Tesco, in the last few days, last week, I guess, have announced and then released the Tesco Huddle, which is their 7-inch Android tablet. And this comes in at £120.
And the interesting thing is, if you're a club card holder and you buy that, you get access to Blinkbox, which is Tesco's streaming movie and TV site.
And it's actually, I had a very quick play with one in the shop the other day. It's actually a very competent tablet. It feels nice. It feels slick. Yeah, it really is quite a nice bit of hardware for a reasonably cheap price as well.
Other things in the rumour mill, and Amazon possibly with a phone.
Oh, so really? To go with the Kindle Fire, of course.
Yeah, and there's talk that one will have up to 4 or 5 cameras.
Hang on. You've got one facing forwards, one facing backwards. How many more do you need? Up and down?
I think they're going to try the 3D thing again.
Oh, haven't we got bored of that?
I don't know.
I've got bored of it.
The other interesting one was Microsoft are rumoured to be talking to HTC,
right,
manufacturers of good Android phones, about putting the Windows Phone operating system, on HTC devices.
Okay, so this is something that in the past Microsoft have been very strict about their control of which devices you can run Windows Phone on.
Yep.
They've been very prescriptive in the hardware, and even more so now that they've acquired Nokia's mobile phone business. Yeah, they've almost bought the hardware in-house. So a little bit of a surprise, maybe?
Yeah, I think they're recognising that if they build their software right, it should be able to run in more environments than just the ones that they prescribed originally. So be interesting to see whether you'll be able to buy an HTC phone and then go, I'd like to be Android today or Windows tomorrow.
Yeah, very interesting. And I guess the next one is moving away from the mobile device market is Twitter, who've been around for a while, but really, up till now, I've been venture capital funded, mm-hmm. so effectively a startup, obviously a very large startup. But they have actually filed their documents with the Securities and Exchanges Commission, which I think hasn't been shut down by the US government thingy.
No, I think it's
that's all carrying on.
Federal.
Yeah, but they filed for their initial public offering, so this is where they actually get themselves listed on the stock market for an expected sort of hopeful amount of $1 billion.
Yes, one wonders if there'll be the same sort of fuss that there was when Facebook did something similar.
Yeah.
Well, we hope their shares don't do what Facebook's did, start high and go diving for the floor fairly quickly.
Yes, although they did recover. Yes. So keep an eye out on that, maybe a bit of an investment opportunity. I'm not sure if it counts as a good one or not, though.
In new software versions, so Android again, Android 4.3.1 is apparently appearing on the LTE versions of Nexus 7 tablets.
So LTE is 4G.
4G.
Yep.
So if you've got a 4G Nexus 7, check if there's a software update out for you. Still unsure what it fixes. The other one is Apple have released their next version of macOS X into their development environment.
Right.
So this is 10.9 or Mavericks.
Oh, very interesting. No doubt not much information getting out because I know they're very, very strict with their NDAs.
Apparently the initial reports is it looks a lot nicer. So maybe they've actually done some work on the environment.
Probably
on the
taken
interface
some,
finally.
Taken some of the iOS 7 design tweaks possibly and ported it across to the desktop platform.
Yeah.
And then the final one here really is a bit of security news because Adobe had a major security breach, I guess is the best word for it, this week. They effectively had a load of their source code stolen for the various Adobe products. So if you use Adobe Acrobat Reader or Flash or any of those, they've had a lot of their source code compromised. But also, which is probably more worrying, they've also potentially had a load of customer data stolen. Now, they are saying that it was mostly in encrypted form, so theoretically it should be secure, but if you've got an Adobe password account with a password on it for anything else, if you use that password for any of the other services, and I know, Julian, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, now is probably a really good time to start thinking about changing those passwords.
I think we better talk offline about that one.
You've got a slightly worried face.
It took Julian quite a while to get into Google Drive a short while ago.
Oh, right.
It wasn't, can I just say, it wasn't the fault of, after the password discussion we had a few weeks ago, I did adopt one password, which was one of the
very good
things mentioned by Rob. But the problem, of course, is you may have the password and easy access to it. If Google insists that you sign out of one account and sign into another, that doesn't necessarily speed the process.
Oh, dear. Anyway, let's now go on to what we said we were going to talk about, and this is the going off-grid.
Yeah, just had my own little off-grid incident, laptop shutdown. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Hadn't switched on the power plug underneath the desk here.
Oh, dear. So what does this mean? And really, it's about living in the modern world, but without some of the public utilities. So this is things like mains electricity, mains water, I guess sewage as well, if you're out in the sticks.
Yeah, sewage, gas, water, electricity, all the things that, you just turn a tap or flick a switch and something's there, and then doing without that.
My granddad used to have no sewage in his garden. This is only a small village just outside of Colchester, so not particularly away from civilization, and he had to have somebody come and empty it every 6 months,
yep,
or when it smelt, whichever was the soonest.
Tank.
but that's actually more common than you might imagine, and we're more going to concentrate on the electricity side of it, being the gadget guide. But that's still surprisingly common, and especially if you go into the likes of the Scottish Islands, where you don't have mains water, you have
a
collection tank or a well or something like that, taking it from the nearest hill stream. But thinking really about electricity, and we'll cover a few bits, but starting off at home, the one that most people, I guess, will have seen really is solar panels, as they're normally called.
Yes.
But solar photovoltaic, which basically means something that takes the sunlight and converts it into electricity rather than into hot water.
Also solar PV, you might see it abbreviated as well.
Good point. Now, there's two sorts of these, really. And the one that most people have installed in their houses nowadays is not something that's actually going to help you in a power cut. So there's two sorts. There's the ones that will, during the day, charge up a set of batteries, and then you can use those when it's dark. Or there's the ones that just effectively feed it straight into the main house power supply.
So these are the ones that you were able to get grants for and discounts and subsidies, where the solar cells are fitted up with inverters. So an inverter takes DC voltage from things like solar cells, turns it back into AC voltage, household current, and that would then feed into your meter. So you have a different type of meter to the regular type. This type of meter is able to feed your house and also feed back into the national grid.
I was going to say, a lot of people, that's one of the, sometimes, you know, it's one of the selling points. People say, oh, yes, yes, and when there's all this excess of sunshine, they can come back and feed it back into the system. So it only takes 25 years to pay it off instead of the usual 30.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really useful, actually, because, of course, during the day, you've got a lot of businesses using a lot of electricity and people away from their homes, but that's when they're generating their electricity. So by linking all of these together, the whole national system actually becomes much more efficient. Whereas if you were just running it off batteries, then you'd be sort of charging your batteries during the day when you're not there and then using most of the electricity at night, and you incur an inefficiency in having to charge those batteries and discharge them. The downside, of course, of going straight onto, these are called grid tied inverters. The downside of that is, if you do have a power cut, we'll come onto that in a minute, then even if you have sunlight, you still have no electricity, because they're not designed to work in isolation. On the other hand, if you go to a camping shop or an electronic shop and go and buy a sort of camping and caravanning solar panel that charges a battery, then you can then use that to maybe charge up your mobile phone.
You can have standalone solar photovoltaic systems installed. Mm. I mean, there you're footing the bill yourself. There's going to be no subsidies. There's going to be no feeding back into the grid. But you could wire up your house with a separate supply just from your own solar panels and battery bank. And that way, yes, you are independent and off the grid. And you could basically set it up so that you only draw power for your high current devices, things like ovens and whatever. Generally, white goods appliances.
Does
in the
it make sense to have a mix of the two? Perhaps the
you
two,
could
two
do
systems.
Yes. Certainly save cost of electricity for generating your own power and using it yourself. I mean, the interesting thing is Google in the US at the main offices in California, because there's lots of sunlight in California, have put up new carports for all of the staff car parking, but on the top of them they put solar panels.
Yeah, and that's something that is increasingly being the case, and increasingly in business as well. So as well as the sort of the solar electricity, you're also seeing solar hot water. So this is something that, it doesn't help you keep your lights on, but actually, because you're turning sunlight straight into heat, it's actually a little bit more efficient. So yes, it can take out some of the need to use your gas boiler or similar to heat the water.
That's been around for decades and has certainly improved over the years. And, yeah, like you said, you're cutting down your gas consumption, or if you've got electric water heaters, it's cutting down the consumption of power on those.
So we're talking about going off-grid. So this is when you're away from mains utilities, like mains power or water.
So far we've talked about doing it by choice.
Yes. Now, what happens when something goes wrong? We've mentioned a couple of times, so if you have solar panels at home and you still have a power cut, it can take you off. How can you avoid going into the dark? That then keeps running as long as you've got petrol or diesel.
Yes, so I mean, you can get fairly small generators, sort of small suitcase size things that will certainly keep, you know, half a dozen computers running.
Yep.
So there are ways of keeping running if there's no power.
And this is... Sorry, Julian, you look like
I was just wondering about, you know, because there is a certain amount of power, as you mentioned, in computers and things. I guess it's almost a bit of a risk assessment going on, isn't there, between what the likelihood is of a power cut, say, between the city of Cambridge, and if you compare that to, say, some of the rural villages just outside.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And for most of my power cuts that I've experienced, it's normally when they're doing right.
Yes.
It's when they're digging up the junction at the end of the road.
It's going to be trouble.
You get the big bang, and then everything goes dark.
I think it's, how often does that happen? Actually, in the grand scheme of things, there might be ones dotted around, but you don't necessarily going to get one in the same place all the time, at least through that sort of incident.
That's true. And as you say, it's a risk assessment thing. So if you've well, certainly if you've got medical equipment, then you might need to be very, very sure that it'll keep running.
Yes.
But maybe if you work from home.
Yep, if you run your own business.
Then, you know, you don't, the last thing you want is to be in the middle of a phone call to a customer and then suddenly lose it.
That's interesting because I work from home, and whilst I'm pretty confident my electricity will stay on, I always make sure I have two sources of broadband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I make sure I've got, obviously, my phone is one. I have a subscription which is, you know, enough to also act as a backup, yeah. For until such a time as it switches back on. Although it has to be said, I haven't had too much of a problem recently.
No, it's a very good
point. But I have had in the past, so hence the reason to be aware.
Well, it's a lot easier than going down to the local coffee shop and stealing their free Wi-Fi, I guess, isn't it?
Well, it depends. If your electricity is gone, of course, then at this point you might want it for the benefit of fresh brewed coffee.
Assuming they've got power.
Fresh brewed coffee sounds like a good idea. I think that's about all we've got for this week.
Thank you very much, guys. Back in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
And a podcast of this, of course, online over the next day or so.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thanks guys.